It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Iowa is on the national list of problem puppy mills, of 101 problem puppy mills in the United States. The Humane Society's May 2014 report includes six in Iowa. Our neighbor to the south, Missouri, had the most problem puppy mills on the 2014 list, 22 in Missouri. Kansas had 13 facilities, Nebraska 12, Illinois had 2. The Humane Society's report says most facilities on the list had been cited by federal or state inspectors for, quote, grave or repeated animal care violations. This hour, we want to find out what violations have been taking place, what a puppy mill is anyway. We want to find out what are the forces that drive these businesses and what might be done to improve the situation. Listeners, have you had experiences with questionable breeders when searching for a puppy? Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org is our email. Joining us first this hour, Mary LaHaye. She's president of Iowa Friends of Companion Animals, joining us in Des Moines. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit, first of all, about your organization, Iowa Friends of Companion Animals.
Sure. We're a nonprofit here in the state. I started this organization to address this issue in our state. We are a grassroots organization. We are working to raise awareness to the problem, but also to work to change laws to protect the dogs in these facilities. We've got a lobbying organization called Iowa Voters for Companion Animals that is our sister organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's address this latest report. Six in Iowa on the problem list. Are we talking about those are only puppy mills, or is the concern broader than the list that I have just reported on there?
Oh, much broader. We've got about 235 USDA licensed dog breeding facilities in our state. Those are the large scale dog breeding facilities that are typically referred to as puppy mills because they keep dogs for the sole purpose of breeding. They just pump out puppies with very little regard for responsible husbandry practices, and the adult dogs are often subjected to quite inhumane conditions. We've got a lot of them in the state. The HSUS report touches on a few. I would add many more if it were up to me.
So Mary, Iowa is one of the largest of these USDA-licensed large-scale commercial dog breeding facilities in the state. Any idea of how Iowa's large-scale breeders are treating the dogs compared to the rest of the country?
Well, when you read the inspection reports, you glean a lot. And one of the things that I have learned is that in 2013 alone, Iowa USDA-licensed dog breeders were cited for violations to the Animal Welfare Act. 41% of those breeders were cited for violations.
So, Mary, under one roof here in Iowa, how many dogs might there be?
Well, we have several breeders that keep over 100 dogs. We have several, in fact, that keep over 200, over 400. We've got one breeder that keeps over 1,500 adult dogs.
Uh-huh. And these are generally in rural areas. I don't imagine you would want these in any city.
Correct. Very rural.
Do you know what are some of the most common violations?
Some of the most common violations are inadequate cage sizes. The regulations state that the breeders need to allow the animals at least 6 inches of space. Measure the dog, add 6 inches. That's the size cage they need to offer these dogs, and many of the breeders are not even offering that. Lots of dogs exposed to temperature extremes. Many reports of dogs living in complete darkness. In old barns and old buildings on agriculture property. Lots of reports of dogs denied adequate vet care. The list goes on and on. The regulations are just so very lax, though, that even if a breeder passes an inspection, it says very little about what's actually going on there.
Well, Mary, River to River tried to contact six Iowa puppy mills, the ones listed on the Humane Society's 2014 Horrible 100 report. Five of them didn't answer or did not respond. And this was really a lot of diligence here by our producer, Emily Woodbury. The exception to that, Rodney Kelly of Kelly's Kennel in Kellerton, Iowa. Rodney's kennel received an official warning from the USDA. This was last year, back in April of 2013, for repeatedly failing to provide adequate veterinary care. A month later, even more problems were found. The issues affected both dogs and cats at the facility, including two Yorkies, signs of severe dental disease. There was a cat with a yellow-green discharge, a swelling of her eye, a Siamese kitten with swollen red and oozing eyes, whom the licensee admitted had had the problem for about a week but had not been treated by a vet. Then in August of last year, 2013, an exposed live vet electrical wire was found hanging into the cat's kennel. And in January of 2013, a cat was found with a large white and pink bulge on the surface of her eye and brown crusting on the eyelids. Now, Mary, Mr. Kelly wouldn't agree to have us record what he said, but on the phone, Rodney Kelly called the inspection reports, quote, a bunch of BS, claiming that he did see some vets and provide some veterinary care. He says he has some documentation for this. He also says, quote, the inspectors got carried away. One inspector from Wisconsin had only been there a couple months, and what he wrote was untrue, unquote, from Mr. Kelly. Can you respond to that report?
Well, I know that the process, the inspection process, does allow for breeders to argue the findings, and the reports are not actually published. They are available online for the public to see, but they are not actually published until those arguments are vetted. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that if he argued that case and the reports were published, which apparently they were, if HSUS had them, that his defense was found not adequate.
When you buy a puppy from a pet store, how do you know where it came from, Mary?
Well, that's tough. Most pet stores that I have heard of people frequenting, if they see a puppy that they're interested in, if they want to know where that puppy is from, they're very often told that they won't be given any sort of information along those lines until they've actually purchased the puppy. So they don't have any opportunity to do any sort of research into the source of that puppy. That's one of the big problems. It's just very difficult to figure that out also. A big problem is that a lot of these breeders sell their puppies to brokers, and those brokers then in turn distribute them to the pet stores. And it's hard to trace that puppy all the way back to the breeder in many cases.
You know, Iowa has the second largest number of USDA licensed large-scale commercial dog breeding facilities in the country. How did Iowa get this place? Why is Iowa this much of an attraction for these large-scale breeders?
Well, I don't have an absolute answer to that. I don't suppose anybody does, but I think that being an agricultural state certainly plays into that, and it doesn't need to. We can be a wonderful and productive agricultural state and not support this type of industry. It's just not apples to apples that we're talking about here. These dog breeding facilities are not the wonderful businesses that agriculture businesses are. Farmers have a vested interest in the welfare of their animals. Their livelihood depends on it. That's not true for these dog breeders, because these adult dogs are so disposable. They are so easily and cheaply replaced, so that there's very little regard for the welfare of the animals.
Mm-hmm. Past the horrible conditions, the welfare of the animal, which you just discussed, what difference does it make, you think? Have there been studies about getting a pet from one of these places? How does it affect the personality of an animal who has not grown up in the best of conditions and crowded conditions, perhaps inhumane conditions?
There have been studies done on that exact thing. And of course, they show lots of problems. Classic amongst them are anything having to do with socialization, anything requiring socialization skills, because these dogs are not typically socialized in the first few weeks of life when it's most critical, so that they are very often fearful of humans. House training is another significant issue with a lot of these dogs, because puppies learn initial house training from their mothers, but the mothers in puppy mills are not house trained, so they can't teach it to their puppies. So there's a lot of behavioral problems that come with many of these puppies.
Mary LaHaye is president of Iowa Friends of Companion Animals. Mary, what is the way to improve the condition for these animals, these puppies, and the mothers that breed them?
Well, as you've shared, we are number two in the nation in the number of USDA-licensed dog breeding facilities. But of the top four states in terms of numbers of USDA facilities, we are the only state that does not provide for state oversight of those facilities. And so we're working to get a law that would require that, that would require our Iowa Department of Agriculture to also provide oversight of these facilities. Then with that state-level oversight, we would be able to also improve some of the standards, and that's what we're trying to pursue. We'd require larger cage sizes. We'd provide solid flooring in the cages, annual vet checks. We could do a lot if we could have some state oversight of these facilities.
Mm-hmm. So currently the only oversight is federal in Iowa?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And how much of that takes place?
Well, as you might imagine, not very much. They are, of course, limited by funding. There are, in fact, only two full-time USDA inspectors in our state. There are a couple that come in from other states occasionally, but we've got over 230 facilities and two full-time inspectors. Do the math. It means that they're not inspected very often, mm-hmm. and that's just not adequate.
In that list of remedies, the way forward, as far as you're concerned, you didn't address the problem of a lack of socialization. These, you know, puppies are dogs, and dogs were created by humans, essentially, right?
Right. Right. And yes, we've definitely tinkered with their genetics to make them want to be with humans, and then they're denied that.
Mm-hmm. So how does it stand in the Iowa legislature? Do you? We'll be talking with those involved in legislature in a few minutes, but give us an overview there.
Sure. Well, we've tried many years now to get something going. Senator Matt McCoy here in Des Moines, who I think you'll be talking to next, is our stalwart there. And he has helped us with several different bills. We had one this year that would have gotten that state-level oversight that I was talking about. That bill made it through a couple of committees in the Senate, but it did not get to the floor for a full vote. It didn't even get going in the House. We will be back next year and try again.
Give us an idea of what opposition it faces. What are the arguments opposing changes?
Well, in years past, we've run into our stiffest opposition from agribusiness. But I do think that for the most part, we've done a pretty good job of educating those in that industry that we're not talking about agriculture here. We are talking about something entirely different, so that we've seen them relax a little bit. This year, unfortunately, what we ran into was opposition from the American Kennel Club. Very unlikely opposition there.
Why?
But, well, I would imagine that an organization that considers themselves the champions of dogs would certainly support any sort of legislation that would protect dogs, but they did not. And I'm not entirely sure why, but I guess as is true in most situations, you follow the money and you'll probably figure it out. But so we have a lot of hobby breeders in the state who came out against this bill. There are a lot of good hobby breeders in the state. They do a good job. They produce wonderful puppies. They take good care of their breeding stock. But AKC has fanned their flames into believing that we are out to stop all dog breeding, which is just not true.
What if a person wants a puppy? Are you saying people should not go to the local pet store?
Absolutely not. No, you have to go. If you want to purchase a puppy, you absolutely have to visit the kennel and see the mother and see where she lives. And you're not afforded that if you go to a pet store or if you buy online and have the puppy shipped to you. You have to visit the facility. You have to meet the mother. You have to see where she lives. And don't accept any excuse for not being allowed to do so.
Mm-hmm. Mary, before we say goodbye, how did this mission start for you?
Oh, I visited a puppy mill in search of a puppy. I didn't even know they existed, and I stumbled on one. And when I found out that very little was being done to help change this, I just couldn't stand for it, so I started this organization.
What did you see there on that first visit that distressed you so much?
Well, dogs in small cages, spinning in their cages, barking wildly. The smells were horrendous. It was just a sight. And I went home and started doing research online and discovered what puppy mills are and that they're such a problem in the country and that Iowa was right there at the top of the list. I'm an Iowa native. I love this state. This is not something I'm proud of, and I started to work to change it. We've got over 15,000 adult dogs in Iowa puppy mills, and we can do better than this.
Mary LaHaye, how many dogs do you have at home?
Four.
Four dogs. All right. We'll let you go. Mary LaHaye, president of Iowa Friends of Companion Animals. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today we're talking about large-scale dog breeding, specifically in Iowa, so-called puppy mills. Later in the program, we'll talk with the owner of a pet store who used to sell puppies from breeders, large-scale breeders, but now sells only shelter dogs and cats. We'll find out what changed his mind. Also, indeed, we will be talking with State Senator Matt McCoy a little later in the program, who's been at the forefront in a legislature of changing regulations on Iowa's dog breeders. Have you had experiences with questionable breeders when searching for a puppy? Perhaps you've adopted a puppy from a large-scale breeder through a pet shop. Tell us about your experience. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, Iowa Public Radio on Facebook, or tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining us next, Nancy Harvey is with us, animal rights advocate with the Iowa Coalition for Pet Adoption. This is a group that fundraises and promotes education on the issue of puppy mills and pet adoption. Nancy is in our Des Moines studio. Hi, Nancy.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. So if I understand this right, when a puppy mill breeder is closed down, they usually auction off their dogs. And your group then steps in and does what?
Well, we do some rescue. My group, basically, the Iowa Coalition for Pet Adoption, we're soon to be a 501c3, a nonprofit. Our big thing is doing education, fundraising, and we do a small part of rescue. We do not have our own facility, but we do work with other rescues who are willing to take on dogs that we may acquire through a puppy mill auction. And they do close because the breeder has chosen to go out of business, or in a case that which happened last year in New Sharon, they did close because of extreme violations to animals there.
What was that puppy breeder, the name of that puppy breeder?
The breeder's name was Sharon Pratt. She mm-hmm. was – actually, Deborah Pratt. She's from New Sharon, Iowa.
What did you – you attended this auction?
I did. I and a couple other gals who our goal was to outbid the breeders and the Amish folks, who are the ones that really go to these auctions, and to keep these dogs out of the cycle of breeding.
So what condition did you find dogs in that were put up for adoption or for auction by this breeder, Pratt, that was in violation?
Well, it was deplorable. I have to first say I have to prepare myself initially to go to these auctions. My first gut reaction is just butterflies in my stomach and very anxious because I'm not really sure what to expect going there. But I knew this one was bad from things that I had heard on Facebook. When we went there, the dogs were housed in these sundowner buildings of really ill repair. There was animal waste draining in open pits in the backs of these buildings. Some of it was draining into a stream below our property. Just walking into the buildings, the stench of ammonia and feces just almost knocked you over. A lot of people were actually getting sick going through the buildings. It was so strong. I had to put something over my nose and my mouth just to walk through there.
And in the midst of all this, how many dogs were there?
There were over 300 dogs there in those buildings.
In small cages or what?
In small cages. There were four to five per cage. In addition, with the situation of the buildings, the floors were so urine-soaked, you felt like you were going to fall through, and that's just, you know, describing the whole place where they were kept. But the actual condition of the dogs was absolutely horrible as well, especially the bulldogs. I did see a small dog with very deformed legs, matted, hardly moving. The bulldogs were in a separate building in very bad shape. One was about ready to have babies, and she was just laying motionless in her own waste, unable to move. She had most of the bulldogs had very bad eye infections and rashes. Mm. A lot of the dogs were just scared to death. They were in the backs of their cages, just shaking when they saw you walk through. Of course, the noise was deafening as well. Just all those dogs barking at once. It was just absolutely horrible.
We have to take a break in a minute or so, but we want to let our listeners know that you adopted one of the puppies from this facility, if I'm not mistaken. Milo? Milo's what breed of dog?
Milo is a Shih Tzu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shih Tzu. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit about Milo when we come back. How's he doing these days?
He's doing absolutely wonderful. He still just has some residuals from living in the puppy mill, but for the most part, he's doing really well after a year being out.
Okay, we'll talk about Milo, your dog that you got from this breeder, had many violations, and it's hard to listen to those conditions, Nancy. We'll be back with you in just a moment after a short break. Nancy Harvey, animal rights advocate with the Iowa Coalition for Pet Adoption. It's a group that fundraises and promotes education on the issue of puppy mills and pet adoption. Also, when we come back, we'll have a pet store owner who used to sell puppies from large-scale breeders but now sells only shelter dogs and cats. We want to have you join our conversation. Also, Senator Matt McCoy will be with us a little bit later in the program. Perhaps you've had experience with questionable breeders. Perhaps you're a breeder. Perhaps you're a hobby breeder and would like to join our conversation. 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. We're talking about large-scale breeding of puppies in Iowa this hour. Glad to have you back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking about the large-scale dog breeding in the state across the nation, the so-called puppy mills and the problems that that entails. A new U.S. Humane Society report put out this month includes six problem puppy breeders in Iowa. In fact, we contacted all of those puppy mills. None of the constant days long busy signals or did not respond to any request for being on this program. Of course, there's many good breeders out there. We are trying to differentiate between the good breeders and the ones that don't do a good job of taking care of our animal companions. Talking about with those who are trying to change things. Also, State Senator Matt McCoy to come yet in this program. He's worked hard to try and strengthen regulations on Iowa's puppy breeders. With us right now, Nancy Harvey, animal rights advocate with the Iowa Coalition for Pet Adoption, a group that fundraises and promotes education on the issue of puppy mills and pet adoption. And Nancy has gone to several auctions for one reason or another. Puppy mill, these breeders go out of business. She was recounting the deplorable conditions she found at one auction, that of Deborah Pratt's auction in New Sharon, Iowa. And Nancy, your dog Milo, I wanted to use your dog Milo as a vehicle to find out what kind of behavioral problems dogs from these large-scale breeders can have. What did you remind us? What condition Milo was in before you got him or when you got him, and what kind of rehabilitation he's had to go through? Incidentally, we'll have before and after photos of Milo on our website for you to go at iowapublicradio.org. Nancy?
Okay, well, when I first got him, he was extremely timid, but he seemed interested in wanting my attention. He's got a condition called dry eye, and what that means is if he's not taken care of, he eventually will be blind. However, he was not treated, obviously, being in a puppy mill, so he is blind in his left eye. And he does have some vision, and he's right. And it's a continual chronic issue that I have to treat daily with oral, with drops, steroids to put in his eyes. He has splayed paws from living in a puppy mill, which means that their paws are really splay out because of their standing on wire cages for a long time. And my best guess, I do not know how old he is, but I believe he was in the mill for at least 5 years as one of their breeders. When I brought him home, he was extremely afraid of the grass, of open yard. When I take him outside, he would run along the fence line. He would not go across the yard. He was extremely afraid. He would run back to the house as quickly as possible. He would not inside the house, he would not go from room to room. He would just sit and look at me, extremely afraid of that type of thing.
Nancy Harvey, a lot of input we have from our listeners, including on our Facebook page. Let me have you comment on these or react to these. This is a post from Judy on Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page. I have two female Shih Tzus and a male Yorkie. One of my Shih Tzus came home from a puppy mill down in Des Moines. I was horrified at the rows of kennels. I got my puppy and took her home. She didn't have the socialization like puppies should. She was always scared of everything and everyone and very timid. She's 7 years old now and is still not the same as the other two dogs. The only time she seems happy is when she's outside running around on our farm. Another Facebook post from Jeff. My French bulldog, Buck, is a puppy mill survivor. I got him from a rescue group. I am concerned about the genetics of the breeds. Lots of problems. I hope the law will someday catch up. Very similar to your story, Nancy, and I imagine those stories you hear again and again you know about, right?
Right. The thing is, they need to just give their dogs time. They will eventually, of course, if it's a genetic health issue, they have to just keep watching that. But behavioral-wise, I have seen them come out of their fear and their timidness and just blossom after they get the right nutrition, the right care, and the love that they should have as dogs. I did adopt 7 dogs at the Pratt auction, and a couple of them were extremely timid. One was adopted, and he didn't want to be touched, but now he is just a totally different dog, so it just takes time for them to come through that period and a lot of care as the owner, adopter with these little dogs. So they do have special needs.
Nancy Harvey is with the Iowa Coalition for Pet Adoption. Let's talk with another guest. Greg Gordon is joining us. He's the owner of Dog Patch Pet and Feed. This is in Naperville, Illinois. Hi, Greg. Greg, are you there?
I am here. Hello.
Hi. We're hearing you now, Greg. Thanks for joining us. You're the owner of a pet store, Dog Patch Pet and Feed. You used to sell puppies from large-scale breeders, but now I understand you sell only shelter dogs, and you also sell cats, by the way. To take us back, I want to get your story here in a nutshell. You started in 2010 selling breeder puppies.
We've been in business for 43 years, so we've run the gamut, and we have spent a lot of time driving all over Iowa looking for dogs from, I suppose you could classify them as commercial breeders, but generally they were very small scale individuals, a lot of farmers that just had a little sideline of breeding a dog or two.
Right.
And that's what we spent most of our time dealing with, and so I know the state very well. Found somewhere in there that in 2010, my heart wasn't in it anymore. I had taken home a rescue dog, and it had just gotten to me, and I did not want to add to the problem any longer. And in 2010, I finished the commitments I had made with breeders, and by the end of 2010, we were 100% rescue. So every dog and cat that's left here since then has been a rescue animal.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in your survey that you did in those years, more or less, of Iowa breeders. Certainly some good ones there and some ones that are not so good. What did you run across there?
Well, you know, the family farm is a great place to find someone who really does care about their animals and not necessarily all about the cash. Unfortunately, there are some really large-scale operations in Iowa, and I suspect they're some of the people you tried to reach. There are some bad actors, but
what did you see? What did you witness? What did you see when you were driving around? Did any personal experiences?
Enormous numbers of animals in the 1400 to 1600. Outbuilding after outbuilding after outbuilding, and that's if they were good. I mean, what is considered good? There were places where there were just stacks of cages. There were essentially cages on stilts with a tin roof, and an animal's not going to thrive in that situation whatsoever. And the problem is that these folks are in it for money and not for the betterment of a breed or to create an animal that's going to be a good companion. They're in it for the dollar. And unfortunately, those folks only understand one thing, and that is if their pocketbook gets hurt.
Mm-hmm. How did this change affect your pocketbooks, changing over to a pet store that sells only shelter dogs and cats?
Well, my standard line is that my accountant was the last guy to be on board with this idea. So
not so good.
We walked away from a substantial amount of money, but in my heart, I knew if I did the right thing, it would somehow work out, and it has. Was a little slow to happen, and oddly, our biggest issue was finding animals. Rescues do not trust pet stores, and it was a big hurdle, a much bigger hurdle to get over than I expected. On the other hand, once it became clear that we were committed to this idea, there was always a question as a pet store, which is how many people are not walking in my door because I sell puppies? And the answer was an enormous number of people were not walking in my door, more than we expected. And we were pretty capable of replacing the money that we were making on the sale of dogs from breeders with other items, with new customers, and frankly, with the ability to adopt out a rescue dog. I don't make any money on those rescue dogs, but they are sort of a way to get people in my door, and as happy and proud as I am to adopt out animals that were on death row, it is good for my business.
Greg Gordon, we're running short of time, but I do want to get to you before we go to State Senator Matt McCoy here and some callers. Tell us, a new ordinance in Chicago that will start in the spring of next year. What's new about the ordinance?
Well, the ordinance says that commercial breeding is essentially not going to happen. It won't stop the people from breeding, but a pet store cannot sell a dog from a commercial breeder in the City of Chicago and now in Cook County. And tomorrow I'll be testifying in front of the state Senate because the governor has proposed that this bill be made statewide. And so there will be an interesting consortium of pet stores. I will be the one on the other side. But we're going to try to see if we can't make it so that in Illinois you cannot buy a commercially bred dog.
How do conventional pet store owners, ones who get their supplies from large-scale breeders, view you?
They're pretty angry at me. I would be considered a redheaded stepchild right now in the industry. They are worried about their way of life, and I understand that completely. This is something that a lot of them have been doing in their family for years and years, and it's a threat, and I fully understand that, and I don't take it lightly. However, I believe that the time has come to make the change.
Okay. Greg Gordon, stay with us. We're joined also now by Iowa State Senator Matt McCoy. Senator McCoy, welcome to our program.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate being with you today.
You've been listening here. Now, we've referred to your efforts numerous times during the hour. You work to further regulate puppy breeders here in Iowa. In the last legislative session and also in the past, during the last week of the session, the bill died. Why?
Well, the bill came late. And it needed a great deal of work. So there was a committee of actually specialized breeders that are the small breeders that breed for show, and the AKC owners, and obviously some individuals that that are involved in rescue that had concerns about the broad strokes of the original effort, and so they worked on a subgroup all through the session and came up with a compromise in the way of an amendment, and that amendment then passed the Commerce Committee and the Ways and Means Committee. And so it was, in fact, just as the final hours of the session was just getting ready to be introduced onto the floor. My intent was to move that through those committees so that everyone would be familiar with it and then get it to the floor in the upcoming session.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking toward the next session, the 2015 session, for movement on this. Do you feel that you've addressed the opposition voices enough in this to change the picture so that this bill passes?
I do. I think that most legislators have heard from groups that are concerned about companion animals, that are concerned about the conditions of these puppy mills throughout the state, and very very much in support of wanting to do something. They want to do the right thing, and because the subgroup worked throughout session, and we get their input, I think we ended up with a much better bill that's stronger and addresses the real concerns, which are these very large breeders that in essence are keeping animals in conditions that are not humane and frankly putting all of Iowa's brand as it relates to animals in jeopardy.
Stay with us. State Senator Matt McCoy, we want to go to a few phone calls. Wyatt is in Dubuque. Hi, Wyatt. We're running short of time. What's your view?
Hi, Senator. I was one of the guys responsible for the subcommittee and the shutting down the original amendment. And I just wanted to please ask you to remember to keep the profit and corporate entity separate from the hobby breeders. I think there's a simple solution to doing that. And that is, if someone's using a farm credit or reporting an income from dog breeding, then they most likely maybe should be subject to a USDA inspection. Whereas, the hobby guys that we talked about for the last 10 minutes or so that do a responsible job and have a small kennel, aren't in it for the money, do it for, competition and for hunting purposes.
Are you a hobby breeder, Wyatt?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I'm an organic farmer too, and I'm also a business major and a business degree. And I can assure you, I keep thorough books. There is absolutely no profit in a small-time dog breeding operation for hunting or sport dogs. It's something that you do to improve the breed and because you enjoy doing it. And, after overhead of kennels, vet bills, and all the time that you put into the animals, profit is not the motivation. And we do like a strong line. And one of the reasons that the AKC...
the American Kennel Club, yeah.
Yeah, one of the reasons they stood behind us, and, we're also helping to push for the amendment, is because the majority, they make their money, the majority of their money comes from a dog registration. People who are registering dogs, it took a big hit during the recession, and so the AKC lost a lot of income. And the AKC is not Monsanto or Cargill or ADM. They're not, they're not a big corporate entity.
Okay.
And they do promote, transparency and responsible breeding.
Wyatt, thank you for your perspective from Dubuque. To follow up on that, Senator McCoy, we are running short of time, but talk about the idea of oversight here, because Iowa, as I understand, is one of the few states that has no state-level oversight. We have only these federal inspectors, and if you are a large-scale dog breeder, you have actually little to fear, do you not, unless
right.
there's a complaint?
Right. So there's about 230 USDA licensed commercial dog breeders in the state, and they're actually inspected by USDA. But we also have state licensed breeders that are inspected by the Iowa Department of Agriculture. And what we're going to do under this proposal is require all USDA licensed facilities to also be licensed under IDALS and then to be inspected on an annual basis. And again, to Wyatt's concern, we tried to address this so that it will only apply to those breeders that are truly commercial breeders and not the hobby breeders or the show breeders or the AKC breeders or the specialized breeders. This is really going after those 230 current USDA licensed commercial dog breeders that are really the large scale dog breeders. We have more than 15,000 adult dogs that are engaged in the breeding industry, and 41% of USDA breeders were cited in 2013 for having violations of the Animal Welfare Act. So this bill really goes to speak to those issues and tries to address those issues of enforcement and increased standards of care, which Iowa sorely needs right now.
Jill is joining us from Des Moines. Hi, Jill.
Hi, I'm here.
Yes, go ahead. We don't have much time, but what's your view?
Okay. I'm calling as a volunteer trying to work with dogs, cats, ferrets, and Rescue League. I just want to promote the leagues. You can get online, Animal Rescue League, and look up any kind of dog you would love to spend time with. I mean, there's all kinds of pictures of dogs, ages of dogs. Yeah, are you there still?
Yes, I'm still there, Jill. Go ahead.
The other thing is that not all pet stores are alike. PetSmart does a great job of providing animals for adoption from the league. I don't believe they have dogs, but let's just give them a good support here. They do not take some puppy notes. But go to the league. You'll get a free dog, spayed and neutered, cheap microchip.
Okay, Jill, thank you in Des Moines. Very quickly to Richard in Cedar Rapids. Thanks for waiting, Richard.
Oh, thank you very much. My question is, I would wonder if Nancy Harvey is available to clarify her statement when she is at auctions that she has to outbid competing breeders and the Amish. Why are the Amish included in that statement?
Richard, thank you. Let's see. Nancy is still with us?
Yes, I am.
Can you quickly tell us why would the Amish be present at these auctions so much?
Well, It's something that a lot of people don't realize, but the Amish are one of the worst offenders of puppy mills. There are so many in southern Iowa that are mostly run by the Amish. And surprisingly, a lot of people don't realize it. They have the perfect setup. They live out in the country. They have a perfect facility in the land to put up a building. And my understanding is the Animal Welfare Act violations are incredible for these people. They really have some really horrible USDA reports. Most of them are licensed by USDA, but I've heard horrible things about their facilities.
Okay, yeah. Nancy Harvey, quickly tell us what will it take for you to be satisfied as far as change happening here in Iowa?
Well, I certainly would like to see the state oversight of these kennels as well. I believe that the state is responsible for the puppy mills in the state, and they should take responsibility for that and not just let USDA dictate what they feel is appropriate for the puppy mills that are actually in our state. The state of Iowa should be responsible.
Okay. Senator Matt McCoy, give us your vision of what this bill would do here in Iowa to change things should it be passed in the 2015 legislature and signed.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to increase the standards of care for commercial breeders. We're going to require USDA-licensed facilities to increase their cage size to, in essence, double the size of the cage of the animal, to eliminate the use of open wire grid or floor caging, and provide solid surfaces on the cages for these animals to sleep in. In addition, we're going to require them to have access to the outdoors at least 12 hours a day so that these animals are seeing the outdoors. Many of these animals are kept in dark confinement areas and never allowed outdoors, and so this would allow them to do that as well. We're going to get these inspectors into these facilities on a regular basis, and we're going to be able to investigate through the Iowa Department of Agriculture any of these complaints that folks encounter when they go out and try to adopt a puppy.
Senator McCoy, do you place the chances of passage for the next session better than 50-50?
I do. I think it's time. I think Iowans are speaking loud and clear. This has become a very important issue for Iowans, and I think legislators and elected officials are listening to folks' outcry right now.
Thank you, State Senator Matt McCoy. Greg Gordon, thank you, owner of Dog Patch Pet and Feed in Naperville, Illinois. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
And Nancy Harvey, thank you.
Thank you.
River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury and Lindsay Moon. John Pemble helped us out in Des Moines today. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Politics Day tomorrow. We hope you'll join us for another edition of River to River then.